So today I want to open up the meaning of the word bardo. Try to do that. It's a particularly rich and interesting term, which I think probably could do with a few talks on it in itself. It's a fascinating term. But before that, I feel that I really must mention, I want to mention, the characters who have brought this teaching to us. They deserve, as it were, our recollection. As a literary document, what we call the Tibetan Book of the Dead emerges into the light of day in the 14th century in the region of Dakpo in southern Tibet, a region famous for its forests, its dense forests, its meadowlands, its rather jagged and fearsome looking mountain ranges, and its traditions of malevolent spirits and traditions of kidnapping unwary travellers and so on and so forth. Quite a strange region in some ways. And the text emerges from the spiritual genius named Rigdzin Karma Lingpa. And Karma Lingpa was born into a Nyingma family. His father was a lama of that school of Tibetan Buddhism. The Nyingma meaning the ancient ones, the old ones, who regarded themselves as being the followers of the great Guru Padmasambhava, the lotus-born guru, Guru Rinpoche, the greatly precious guru, who for the Nyingma school was the central figure, who is the central figure, who introduced Buddhism to Tibet in the 8th century, and who became for the Nyingma school a sort of archetypal spiritual force, a kind of archetypal guru, spiritual genius, who's a kind of constant source of spiritual inspiration to especially those followers of the Nyingma school. That's a painting attempting to depict Guru Rinpoche Padmasambhava. Now, very little is known about Rigdzin Karma Lingpa, and one of Sangharakshita's teachers, Dujom Rinpoche, describes him as endowed with innumerable attributes and who dwelt as the very embodiment of unimpeded supernormal cognitive power and enlightened activity. Doesn't give examples of that, but that's just what Dujom Rinpoche says. At the age of 15, just 15, Karma Lingpa discovered the teachings that we know as the Tibetan Book of the Dead. 15 years old, so he was pretty bright. And eventually he transmitted these teachings that he discovered to his disciples, who were his family members, and to others. So not very long afterwards, he died. He died very shortly after he'd propagated the teachings. Some people say that he died under rather unpleasant circumstances. But anyway, that's a whole other story to do with the machinations, if you like, of Tibetan Buddhism. The teaching he discovered passed on to just a small number of people for a number of generations. And it took some time before it was more widely known. And eventually it was widely disseminated in the Nyingma and the Karma Kagyu schools. Now, I've said throughout that Karma Lingpa discovered the teachings we call the Tibetan Book of the Dead. He didn't regard himself as having composed them. He didn't regard himself as having made them up. He discovered them. He discovered them, moreover, in the Gampo Dar Mountains, in the mountains near his home, in the mountain that is like a dancing god. He found the teachings hidden away in a cliffside, in a cave. So this all sounds very, very strange to us, but that's the tradition. The Tibetan Book of the Dead, in other words, is what is known in Tibetan Buddhism as a terma. Terma means that which is taken out. In other words, it's a treasure. And the one who takes it out is a tertun, a treasure finder or a treasure revealer. So Karma Lingpa is regarded as a tertun, a taker out of treasure. And these treasures, these termas, were hidden away, the tradition says, by Guru Padmasambhava in the 8th century. At that time, just before he left Tibet, the great guru saw that teachings, new teachings, would be needed, would be required for future times, for future places, for future men and women. So all over Tibet, it said, he hid things away. He hid texts, sacred objects, and so on and so forth. This is the tradition. It's rather more subtle and complex than him sort of burying big books away like that. It's not quite like that. There's all sorts of complexities here. And in fact, the term a tradition of the Nehemiah is extraordinarily detailed and rich. What actually happened was that the great guru transmitted the particular teachings he wanted to for people to know in future generations to his disciples directly, mind to mind, heart to heart. And the teaching, as it were, lays there dormant in the depths of the mind, dormant in the depths of pure awareness. Later, when the disciple is reborn in the future, a particular chain of events unfolds, maybe which includes maybe finding sacred objects or fragments of text, usually yellow scrolls inscribed with the script of the Darkanese. These things that are found awaken the teaching, lodged in the depths of the mind, and the teaching sort of erupts, unfolds, is remembered, and is then written out. It becomes text, becomes teaching, becomes practices. Karma Lingpa then, like other Tertons, is the reincarnation of a disciple of the great guru Padmasambhava. He received the teachings we call the Tibetan Book of the Dead from his teacher, Guru Padmasambhava, and the texts that we call the Tibetan Book of the Dead is a remembering of the teaching, a bringing forth from the depths of the enlightened mind for the people of his time and his place and for the years to come, for those who are going to follow. So the tradition of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, if you read translations of the introductory verses, it very clearly says, this is a teaching of Padmasambhava, hidden away and discovered, rediscovered by Rigdzin Karma Lingpa. This is the way the material is presented. So these teachings are special teachings about death and the after-death state and about rebirth, and teachings on how to live, how to practice now so that one may enter death well, use death as a place, as a time for spiritual practice, for spiritual breakthrough. Even teachings on how to enter rebirth consciously and clearly. Now, I do realise that with our Western scientific perspective, the notion of teachings hidden in the depths of mind re-emerging in later centuries, of people being reborn and remembering, sounds far-fetched. It sounds very dubious indeed, and in fact, some Tibetans of other traditions have their doubts as well. Lots of talk of fabrication and, invoking an authority, even some might regard a spurious authority, Padmasambhava. But for the Nyingmar school, this term of tradition is extraordinarily important and highly revered in that tradition. It's the basis for most people's, most Nyingmar Buddhist spiritual life, a very rich spiritual life. In fact, it's the basis for a very rich cultural life. It's very interesting. Some of the Tertons, some of the treasure finders are associated with real, with whole cultures. In Bhutan, for example, the great Terton Padmalingpa is generally regarded as being the person responsible for creating that culture. He says he just found all these different things, images, swords, dances, etc., etc., texts, practices that were hidden by Padmasambhava. So I don't think we can just dismiss this term of tradition as fantasy. Whatever the truth of it, the term of tradition comes out of a profound vision of the nature of mind, of the nature of consciousness, of the nature of man. It comes out of a vision of the mind of man having extraordinary potential and possibility. Whatever the origins, whatever the explanations, as I've said before, the Tibetan Book of the Dead is a wonderful synthesis of Buddhist teachings, and there's much in it that we can learn, that we can make use of.